Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, friends, you know, winter's coming here in Colorado. My, the trees are all turning beautiful gold and red. And fall is not my favorite time, but I'm glad God made it his way. I like the seasons. If it was all summer all the time, we wouldn't be happy. If it was all winter, we wouldn't be happy. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers and sit back and relax? Pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Let's start out with a thought for the day. A young Christian once prayed, "Lord, fill me to overflowing. I can't hold much, but I can overflow a great deal." Well, friends, if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Luke, the 12th chapter, and let's begin reading with the 16th verse. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Well, friends, here's a different viewpoint between about people. To us, famous. To God, foolish. To us, popular. To God, perishing. To us, rich. To God, ruined. Well, a man God called a fool. Oh, friends, he was ambitious, he was thrifty, and he was successful, but his heart was not right with God. What can we learn from this foolish man? Well, verse 16, it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man was brought plentifully. And he thought with himself, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. He put all of his eggs in one basket. He made a terrible, terrible decision. This man's prosperity was all earthly. Now, his farm produced plentifully, and there's nothing wrong with that. And he had pride in his great harvest. Well, what's he going to do? He can't. His barns ain't going to hold what he's got, so he's got to make a decision. I guess I'll just tear the old barns down, and I'll build some big ones. Oh, my friends. Everyone saw this fool as a success. But friends, something important was missing. Verse 15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possess. You know, a man is born, grows up, gets a job or has a business, and he works hard, and he puts his money in the bank, and he's laying everything up for tomorrow. Oh, listen. What was the problem? Everything he possessed was passing. Otherwise, it was temporary. And he was not rich toward God. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. I wonder where you stand. And you say, well, I'll tell you one thing, Cecil. I'm sure not rich. Well, neither am I. But friends, the Bible said, lay up treasures in heaven where thieves cannot enter and steal. Well, a lot of Christians have never learned that lesson in life. They've been stealing from God since the time that they accepted Christ as Savior. Why do you think that there's not enough money nowadays to run the churches? Because people's cheating on God. But they expect all the blessings of God, and yet they keep stealing. You say, Cecil, I don't have money to tithe. Well, that's where you're wrong, beloved. You are terribly wrong. Because he doesn't require more from me, does you? 10%. That's what he requires. And he wants you to do that because he wants to bless you. See, you say, well, oh, well, and Cecil, are you trying to tell me you can buy favor with God with money? Absolutely not. God doesn't need your money. He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. But as a test of your heart, where are your treasures? Are they in heaven or are they in some bank account? I remember one time a lady got up and was testifying. Well, she said, you know, I'm a tither, but did you know what I did? We went broke, and I forgot we had several thousand dollars in a CD. Wasn't that something? She'd forgot. Yes. But this man was not rich toward God, verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. A fool's security is false. 18 and 19. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And there's a period there. Huh? What does it say out of that? But thou fool. Friends, when God calls you a fool, you're in bad shape. His future seemed pretty secure. From if you read that, it looks like he was doing pretty good. Because he laid up goods for many, many years. He didn't have no retirement worries about nothing. I remember years ago when I was preaching lots and lots of revivals in Virginia and down in Alabama and all those places. There was a pastor that had me come and preach a revival in his church. In fact, he had me come preach 3 or 4 revivals in his church. And this man was one of the best preachers I ever heard. He was good. And he had a way with his people. He was a godly man. He was a visiting preacher. He was a soul-winning preacher. Well, one time I was there preaching a revival, and he said, "Well, Cecil, I'm so excited. Next month or sometime at that," he said, "I'll be 65 and I'm retiring from the ministry." And I was stunned. I was shocked. "What? You mean a man 65 could preach like you could and run a church like you? You're going to retire from the ministry? That's not scriptural." Well, sure enough, he retired at 65. And then about a couple years later, I was down preaching a revival, another revival, and he read in a paper where I'd be there. So he called me up. He said, "Brother Cease, would you come over and preach a revival in my church?" I said, "Your church? You retired." He said, "Do you want to preach a revival for me?" I said, "Sure I do." So I went over to his house. I stayed all night with him. Went over to his house, and we was out on the back stoop. That's what they call it down there. We was out there drinking a glass of iced tea, and he got the funniest look on his face. He kind of smiled. I said, "What's so funny, Dr. McClung?" He said, "You see that old apple tree down there? You see that stump?" "Yeah." "Well, Brother Mo, I lost my voice. I totally lost my voice. They took me to specialists all over the country. They couldn't figure out what was the matter." So he said, "This one day I was sitting out here on the stoop thinking about myself and how unhappy I was because I couldn't talk. And he said, I noticed that old stump over there. And I went over there," and he said, "I knelt down by that stump. And I said, 'Lord, I was one of your preachers for many, many years, saw many souls saved. But,' he said, 'I retired. Lord, I can't talk now. But I'll tell you one thing. You know, I used to be a pitcher in my church, but now I'd be willing to be a substitute if you'd let me come back and preach for you.' Guess what happened? God gave him back his voice, and he lived till he was 75 years old. Retirement is not in the Christian realm. We don't retire from the Lord. Well, I sure hope you don't. Now, I'm 85, and I retired from my business back in 1982. But I'm probably busier than a lot of pastors today. I have plenty to do. And I'm so thankful that he's still able to use me." Well, the present seemed perfect. "Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Time to relax and to live it up." But verse 20 says, "But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?'" The fool's last night on earth, "this night thy soul required." His possessions would profit him nothing. He couldn't take them with him. His heirs would fight over them. He had not prepared for eternity. He would harvest his deeds and not his field. From his field to the fire, we read in Luke 6:16-19. "And there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man, man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in this lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Listen, friends, it's no disgrace. It's no disgrace to be rich. But my stars in the morning, you need the Lord. Every one of us need the Lord. Well, you see, Cecil, I've done all right. My business is... You know what, friends? I told you this story 100 times. I'll just go over it lightly. When I started a roofing business in Colorado in the early 70s, God wouldn't made that business into a $1 million-a-year business. I had new trucks. I had equipment. I had a big warehouse. I had everything. And you said, well, what's that got to do with the story? The story was, God gave me that roofing company for one purpose, that I might go preach the gospel. No, you don't hear me begging for money on radio. You never have heard me begging for money. That's not what I do. I preach. God said if I do what he called me to do, he would take care of my needs. Well, my God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. I traveled halfway around the world in those many years preaching the gospel because I was able to make enough money in my business to do it. To God be the glory and the praise. I could tell you some things that make your hair curl. Things I've seen the Lord do. And how many times you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. I'm not running around the world telling people what I'm doing for Jesus. I'm telling the world what Jesus did for me, a no-good drunk. Gutter. That's what I was, a gutter. In the gutter. But when I reached out to Jesus, I'm telling you something happened. He changed my life. These rich men could have all been born again. They could have all trusted Jesus. But they wanted their money. They wanted to enjoy life. I wrote a letter to my niece, who I led her and her husband both to the Lord many years ago. He passed away. He was in a wheelchair. He was in bad shape. So it was like having a baby in a home. And I wrote and I said, honey, I said, life is rough. I know that. But you know, this isn't the life that we're living in here. But this isn't our home. This isn't our work. We're passing through to another land. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the reason he said that is because if everyone in this world, when there won't, but if everyone in the world would repent of their sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, their names will be written in the Lamb Book of Life. God will remove from their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. And he has a definite plan tonight for your life. Oh, he sure does. You see, Cecil, I'm so bashful and I can't teach a Sunday school class. And I've never witnessed. I'm a mess. Well, what would you like to be? would you like to be a servant of the Lord? Hey, didn't you know, friends, God's not looking for super spirituals. He's not looking for big shots. He's looking for men and women who are available. Are you available tonight? Let me suppose that you get a phone call at 9 o'clock tonight from an alcoholic. And he's crying on the phone. And he says, Bill, Mary, Jim, Pete, I'm in trouble. I need help. What would you do? Would you hang up on him? A lot of people would. A lot of people would hang up. And I remember the night that dear old alcoholic and down in Portland came to that church. He came in the door and he had his glasses up on his head and he'd vomited on himself and he'd wet his pants and he was crying. He said, I'm looking for help. Can I find help here? I said, you sure can, dear friend. And the three of us went in this little prayer room and I sat down with him and I shared what Jesus had done for me. That I was a no good drunk. But I said, you know, the night that my wife told me that it was all over and she was leaving me, I realized that I'd went one step too far. I'd crossed the line. And I knew there wasn't, as far as I knew, there was no help for me. I was a hopeless case. A basket case, if it were. But God still had this plan for my life. And he directed me to make a phone call to a preacher that I'd never heard of. And I called that preacher out of bed. And I was crying and I said, Preacher, I'm going to take my life and I'm so afraid to die. And he said, Son, you don't have to take your life. He said, I'll tell you what. You tell me where you're at. And I told him. He said, if you're not sober enough to drive to my home, I will come pick you up. This is 3 o'clock in the morning. He don't know me from Adam's off. I could have been a killer. I could have been a robber, whatever. I went to his house, and I sat there and I cried till I couldn't cry anymore. And then he just said, Son, God loves you. It made me furious. Why could he say that? God took my sister, my mom, and my dad. And I was beaten, abused for years with a mean stepmother. He said, God loves you, Cecil. He just kept insisting. I wanted to believe that. Oh, yes, I did. I wanted to believe that. But then the Holy Spirit of God tugged at my heart until I couldn't fight him anymore. And I fell on my knees and I cried out and I said, God, be merciful to me, Cecil Moe, a sinner. Oh, beloved, the joy, the peace that came into my heart. And I knew that I had been born again. And I knew with God's help I would never touch another drop of liquor. Beloved, that was 1955. That's what he did for me. That's why I get on this broadcast and tell you these stories. Because I think that a lot of you out there are the same condition that I was. And maybe some preacher have told you you're no good. Maybe Christians have said, we don't want you in our church. But God wants to save you. He sure enough does. Well, what if this was your last night on earth? Where, beloved, will you spend eternity? In 2 Corinthians 6:2 it says, He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in a day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't be a fool. Trust Christ as your Savior today. Well, you say, Cecil, I've been thinking about it quite a bit, but, you know, there's so many things I don't understand. Well, a lot of things I didn't understand. But after I got saved, I began to learn. I got into God's holy, unerring word, and I'm telling you, friends, if you want to know something that's exciting, read the Bible. Boy, and pray. Talk to the Lord. Tell him what your needs are. Thank him for what he's done for you. You're just that important. He died. If it's only been one man on this earth, he'd have died for you. Let me ask you, friends, would you like to trust Christ tonight? You say, Cecil, you're always saying about a tug in the heart. I have that tug tonight. If you have, dear friends, bow your head with me right now, and I'll help you pray the most powerful prayer known unto man. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, O God, I ask you to forgive my sins and my wayward life. And I know, Lord, that you love me and you died for me. So with that in mind, I'm going to open my heart and invite you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. If you can't afford to call me, collect, and I'll pay for it. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, beloved, for listening. Continue to pray for me and my wife and our health. I want you to pray for my son-in-law. He had a hip operation, and he's really suffering. Oh, my. It's the second one he's had. But pray that his name is Ralph, and pray for him, will you? Listen, before I leave, I want to urge all of my listeners to vote next month. No, I'm not telling you who to vote for, but if you ask God's Holy Spirit, you won't go wrong, and that's a promise. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, who wants to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.